Are you ready, Keith, for maybe a light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, I think so.
Maybe a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, I gathered that. I was listening to Mayo Monday, as I always do.
Yeah, you should.
Tremendous interview with the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning. And you know what he didn't do?
Didn't say Jacoby 100%.
Correct. He says he's still going to talk it over. Still have the meeting.
Got a squad meeting coming up. You know what? We're here at Gillette today. Maybe we get the invite to the squad meeting.
Now, normally it was Sunday night. He would always say, yeah, Brissett's our guy. You know, look at the tape. Always a competition, but Brissett's the guy. Monday morning, definitely Brissett's the guy. Did not hear that this morning. I think we're getting Drake May week 6.
Okay, so that would be a light at the end of the tunnel for what yesterday felt like rock bottom. We'll get to all of it here today on Jones and Keefe. As I mentioned, we are live today at Gillette Stadium following the Patriots 15-10 loss yesterday here at Gillette to the Miami Dolphins. It was ugly. It was all levels of the organization. Offense struggled to move the ball. Defense struggled to get stops when it mattered. Coaching was over their head, but let's start with what feels like a developing story that began here today on WEEI with, as Keith mentioned, the interview with Jerod Mayo, who basically didn't commit to Jacoby Brissett, said we haven't had our staff meeting yet. To me, that meant the door was ajar. Mike Reese says, opinion analysis. Reese doesn't normally dabble in that world, right?
Analysis.
Reese is a facts guy, does not normally dabble in the opinion analysis. He says it was a notable shift in Jerod Mayo's answers today regarding the quarterback situation. In his day-after-game video conference, Mayo said last week the way the team won its only game against Cincinnati in the opener was unsustainable. He seems to strongly be considering a switch to Drake May. That was Reese's analysis. Schefter quote tweets it. He says, a quarterback change could soon be coming to New England with rookie quarterback Drake May potentially starting Sunday against the Houston Texans. So there's no firm reporting on that, but Reese, Schefter both seem to be pointing to it. Our ears caught the same thing.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely different. We've listened to Mayo every single week, whether it's on the morning show, whether it's post-game press conference, whether it's his press conference during the middle of the week, and he's always been the plan. You know, Brissett is tough. You know, he really compliments Brissett, but this was one where, you know, he was talking about the lack of execution, and he's been talking, even going back to the one win they have, about they need to throw the ball. It's 2024 in the NFL. You need to be able to throw the ball downfield. They have not been able to do so. And it's not just an offensive line issue, not to say that the offensive line is great. I'm not saying that. But it is everywhere. And if you can make any kind of improvement to the team, shouldn't you do that? We're 5 weeks in. It's not like you have a stud receiver, a stud lineman, a stud tight end, a stud running back not playing. But you have maybe a stud quarterback sitting there not playing, so I think they finally need to put him in.
Yeah, you have Jacoby Brissett throwing over the middle of the field with no timeouts.
He's supposed to be the veteran guy that has been around the block.
What the hell?
Smart. Yeah. What is that?
Like, so this to me, all of this development today lends credence to the teetering on a mutiny report from last week. Like, all of it. It was all with the quarterback at the heart of it. The team's ready to freak out and flip out.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, when they were teetering on a mutiny, they lose. It's brutal. They can't score. The only time they do score is on a short field. They're running the football all day.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Short field thing.
Well, true.
Yeah,
They're running the football all day. They get away from running the football, which is a coaching thing, but they can't throw. They can throw.
No.
And the team is teetering on a mutiny. Well, now maybe the mutiny's here because yesterday was ugly. And again, not to keep leaning on Mike Reese here, but he wrote after the game, rock bottom is what this was.
Oof.
It's the first time you started 1-4. In back-to-back years since 92-93.
So those were not great.
The very, very, very beginning of Parcells and Bledsoe. That's where you're at. The defense hung in the game, Reese writes. New England displayed a mostly punchless offense and was penalized 12 times for 104 yards. We'll get to that. It feels like a Patriots team from the early 90s when they played uninspiring offensive football and were annual favorites for the first overall pick.
They didn't even have Bledsoe for one of those 2 years.
92, they did not. That put him in position to get Bledsoe in 93, where they started 1-4 again. So
Travis Hunter.
That's where it feels like where you're at. And again, this is not a bomb thrower. This is not a hot taker. This is Reese. And so that's why we're here. You were teetering on a mutiny last week. You went out and laid a turd. And now it's time to play the rookie quarterback. And it sounds like finally, mercifully, it's going to happen. I think it's a week. Well, maybe 5 weeks too late, but obviously a week too late. This should have happened against Miami. If you play Drake May all year, you might be 2-3, 3-2, you
sure.
might win some of these
games. There's some games to be had. Because you know what my Keefspiracy is on this?
Let's hear it.
I think you're going to really enjoy this.
Okay.
So, against the Jets, go back a couple of weeks ago, the Jets have a bad run defense, and yet they went away from the run and they were trying to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alex Van Pelt, friend of the show, has heard a lot of criticism about how they can't throw it, and not just from idiots like us, but from Mayo himself, right?
Yeah.
Like he says,
well, idiots like you. Well, he seems to not like you specifically.
You also, I think
it's you.
For your tone.
I think it's you.
And so they.
That was so.
Who was that to? That was to me.
That was to you.
But I think it applied to you as well. But my point is, they can't throw it. He knows they can't throw it. So he's trying to justify the decision to stick with Jacoby Brissett that they're forcing to throw. Yesterday is the best example. They were averaging 8 yards a carry.
Ridiculous.
And then they're chucking it all over the yard in a game in which they're winning. And then even when they were trailing, they were down by less than a score. So that final stretch where they had the ball on the Miami 12-yard line and they had all three timeouts and they threw it 4 times. That is a direct. See, yes, we can. Yes, we can throw it. Yes, we can throw it. If they hand the ball to Stevenson or Gibson twice, they probably win the game. But they're so focused on, no, this can work. Because they know they screwed up the Drake May decision early on, and they were trying to justify their decision. Because if all of a sudden they win on a passing touchdown or Jacoby has 250 in the air, oh, everybody's dumb. See, this is working. This is actually, the plan's actually working. But what they didn't account for was just how poor Brissett was going to play. I think this goes all the way back to when they signed him, and they were like, hey, he could start for a little while. He'll eventually turn it over. But we thought we knew what the floor was. Us, them, I think we all thought, all right, here's the Jacoby Brissett floor. Unfortunately, it's like a couple floors down.
Yeah, and this to me feels like the real shift. Like, you and I, and you guys can jump in all day, by the way, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can get in touch with Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium. You can text the show at 37937. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch us live on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Lovely backdrop today.
Look at this.
I don't want to out
25
Nick.
Total points were scored at this field yesterday.
I don't want to out Nick for his joke earlier, but he said all the fans from yesterday remain in the stands, as you can see behind us yesterday. So that's where we are here today. You can also watch on YouTube. .com/WEEI. Just subscribe there. Watch on the live feeds, or you can check out our interview last week with Alex Van Pelt. Among other things, we're going to be joined by a couple of Patriots players today on a Patriots Monday. Who knows, Keith? Maybe we talk to him after the squad meeting, and we get some news here
Jones
and Keith program.
Maybe when
today.
Hunter Henry joins us, he'll know who the starting quarterback is.
He's like, yeah, you know what? You guys, I want to tell you guys. I wanted you to be the first to know.
It's a strange season, Jones, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
Look, we'll ask. I don't know what we're going to hear, but we'll ask. So when it comes to Jacoby Brissett, I think this is the change.
Yeah.
They can't defend his play anymore. Like early on in the year, oh, he's tough. Oh, it's a miracle what he's doing out there. A lot of other quarterbacks couldn't do this. He's evading pressure like he was against Cincinnati and keeping him out of sacks, even though the next week against Seattle, he took a brutal sack that knocked him out of field goal range and maybe cost him the game. So now you have that final drive yesterday where he is throwing over the middle of the field and doing exactly what Miami wants. The one thing he can't do, you throw to the sideline, you throw in the end zone. Even Mark Sanchez on the broadcast knows that.
Yeah, that's a bad sign when Mark Sanchez was pointing out all the things.
Mark Sanchez is like, I wouldn't throw that. And you're like, wait a minute, Mark Sanchez wouldn't throw that.
No.
Why is Jacoby Brissett doing it?
Yeah.
He had more time yesterday. The offensive line felt better, not great. Just better.
I don't think anybody got hurt. Was that the first week that everybody that started played the whole game?
Healthy offensive line intact. They moved Onwenu back to guard. It felt like it was better. Again, not great. Better. And so that to me would be the reason to make the switch because they can't defend Jacoby Brissett anymore. If you want to look at the offensive line and look at the weapons and look at the roster they have, it's a bad team. The coaching around them is bad. But as much as you can separate out the quarterback play and make it just about the way Brissett played yesterday, you can't defend it anymore. And that's why they're not going to.
Right,
they're going to make a change.
That's why they need to do something. And, you know, save the season is obviously strong. It comes across as like, oh, what, like a playoff appearance? Mm-hmm. No. Just having the guys play hard the rest of the way and not sort of, you know, if guys are already playing for themselves on defense is what we heard, or if guys on offense are starting to kind of question the decision-making, you make this change, maybe it sparks them a little bit. No one's saying you're going to rip off 5-6 wins, but maybe you just start to play better, and for a lot of these guys that come back next year, you're in a much better position. So that's kind of, I think, what you're hoping for. But I still go back to Brissett, like, he has played really poorly, but I think his play caller hasn't helped him at all.
Great.
So this is where I would start because they were running the ball great yesterday, whether it was Gibson or Ramondre. Ramondre obviously had the long run. So Gibson had a long run. Go ahead.
Can I give you a couple of numbers?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I was reading Bedard after the game. He says, despite leading for nearly the entire game, Van Pelt called 36 dropbacks that produced 160 yards.
That's insane.
He called just 18 running plays despite 141 yards.
Ramondre averaged 7.4 and Gibson averaged 8.7.
It was a Patriots record. In terms of, not even exaggerating, it was a Patriots record in terms of yards per carry per game. And they dropped back 36 times for 160 yards. They ran 18 times for 141 yards. Meanwhile, Miami figured it out. McDaniel, who I ripped all last week,
yeah.
McDaniel figured it out. They ran all second half, and the Patriots couldn't stop him. 56 right. yards, field goal. 57 yards, field goal. 80 yards, touchdown. Their whole final game-winning drive. Run. The whole drive they ran down the field. And the Patriots, despite being arguably the better running team, got away from it, tried to throw, and yeah, Van Pelt's a huge problem.
I thought the first series was pretty indicative of the whole thing. So they decide to sit Ramondre Stevenson, right? That's his punishment.
Yeah.
He sits for the first drive, fine. Antonio Gibson, 7 yards right off the rip. Then pass play where Brissett holds onto it too long, sack. Pass play where the offensive line breaks down, sack, punt. Like, if you need a three and out, if you need a team to get you a three and out, the Patriots are your team.
They are your squad.
But so Gibson, first carry of the game, 7 yards. I don't think he got another carry till the second half. Like, he wasn't even involved in the offense at all. He ended with only six, and he had 52 yards. So, like, give the guy the ball more. And then, so the first possession I thought was pretty indicative of what it was. Hey, successful run, but no, we're a passing team. Like, you're not a passing team.
No.
Which is so bizarre because Alex Van Pelt came from one of the few run-first teams, right, last year. And then, what the hell? Is that mic on over there? Hello? I think your mic's on. So they go, and he even talked when he first got here about how he's going to run the ball, right? And I was like, run the ball now? But that's the personnel that they have. They probably should run the ball. And then, no, this game and the Jets game, they think they're a passing team. Those are two teams that you can run it against. And they proved it yesterday, and they went away from it. It's one thing if all of a sudden you're down by 14. All right, you probably have to throw it a little bit.
Yeah.
But they weren't. They played with the lead the whole time.
You were in control of the game.
And they were still chucking it around. Three and out punt. Let's get the defense back out there. So defense and special teams, pretty good. I mean, I know they weren't going up against, you know, Dan Marino, but still, like, the defensive special teams held up there under the bargain. This was a loss that was 100% on the offense.
Yeah, 100% on the offense. And, yeah, if you want to split it, Brissett and Van Pelt, go ahead and split it. I would lean more quarterback than Van Pelt, but Van Pelt's a big part of the problem with, again, leaning too much on the throw, not leaning enough on the run when it was working, when the game script was in your favor, you were in control of the game. And, you know, furthermore, I think Mayo today, and I forget if it was in Greg's interview or if it was afterwards with the media, but he said something to the effect of it was a carbon copy of Seattle, the way they handled right before halftime, where you get a run for 8 yards on first down. Bare minimum, you want Miami to burn their timeouts. And I guess they're going for, like, the double score. Like, you have
Tom Brady. Which I thought was
hilarious. Tom Brady out there.
He was like, they might go double score. I'm like, in the game total? Like, how many scores do you think they're going to have? Like, did he watch any of the game? He's like, they could do it. And he was even saying it both ways. It was hilarious. He was like, well, Miami, they also might want to get a stop, and then maybe they'll score. I'm like, neither team's going to score again, Mark. Like, just let it, like, bleed out. But, you know, that was a great example of they didn't really know what they were doing. Right, so they either could have gone like a hurry up and try to get it going, or just bled clock, and they sort of found themselves somewhere in the middle. And you're like, all right, I don't think you had any idea what your plan was.
So again, so why would they be making some of these switches? It's that Brissett is too inaccurate to even attempt to try to get that double score. It is the play calling that is flawed in terms of its approach and appears to be getting worse. Even when I think you're getting better personnel on the field, like you're getting more and more Jalen Polk, you're getting more and more Pop Douglas. And again, we're beggars can't be choosers here. It's not like you have Randy Moss out there running routes, but you're getting your better personnel off the field. You're getting better on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And somehow you're getting worse and less competitive in some of these games, at least offensively less competitive, in some of these games that are winnable. As a winnable game yesterday, you were favored in that game yesterday, at least early in the week. You were favored in that game. So what goes on? But I think right before the half is indicative again of Van Pelt and his lack of a grasp on play calling in today's NFL, or at least play calling with the personnel that he has.
Yeah, I just – it's really bizarre to me because I think also why this game it just feels so much worse is just for a moment, let's look at how bad the Dolphins are. Like, they are a mess. They're on their fourth quarterback.
Yep.
That guy wasn't even on the team at the beginning of the year. He's their starting quarterback right now. One of their best defensive players is out for the season. They do have – two great receivers, but they can't get those guys the ball for whatever reason. Mike McDaniel, maybe the shine is certainly off of him. I liked him, hand in the air. I was a fan. Playoffs in consecutive years made Tua look like an MVP, but maybe Tua deserves a lot more credit because since he's gone down, the offense is a bit of a mess. But they were favored to win the game. Like they were, you know, albeit a 1-point favorite, but still at home, a chance to end this losing streak in a game that you're winning most of the game. That's the perfect formula to hand the ball to Ramondre and Gibson and just, even if you don't score, because there wasn't a lot of scoring yesterday, what's wrong with a four-minute kind of drive to nowhere and then have Behringer, you know, pin him deep? You have a good punter. This isn't a way to win a ton of games, but you could have won yesterday that way. You know, punt the ball inside the 10-yard line, make Snoop Huntley go 90 yards, no chance. So they didn't do it that way, and it's strange because it felt like this would have been the formula, like the way they beat Cincinnati, similar score, wasn't it 16-10?
In the same kind of game.
Same exact kind of game, and yet they wanted to prove everybody wrong that they could throw it.
It's the same kind of game as Cincinnati. It was the same kind of, like, situational failure that you had against Seattle. I guess it was more competitive overall than the last 2 weeks against the Jets and the Niners, but it was also a way, way, way worse opponent.
Right.
And offensively, you looked miserable, at least throwing the football yesterday, which is why we might be on the heels of a quarterback change. Again, if you're just tuning in, Schefter breathing life into the idea that the Patriots could make a quarterback change this weekend against Houston here at Gillette Stadium. Reese is on board with that. He sensed a notable shift with Gerard Mayo today on WEEI. I think we all did. Yeah. And the question becomes, all right, whose call is it? Why are they doing it? And is it the right time to do it? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. If they make the switch, whose call is it?
Mayo said today it's his call.
Right.
Now, again,
right,
you can choose to believe it
but whose call is it?
I think it might be Mayo's call because I think he is the one having to answer these questions, and I think he was probably on board as much as you can be with letting the offensive guys do offense, kind of trusting them a little bit. Right, like that's your job, whether it's the GM and Elliott Wolf or the offensive coordinator, be like, this is how you think it's the way to go. I'm sure Mayo also looked at the offensive line and was like, all right, like we don't need to throw this guy to the Wolves. But I think he wanted to play him certainly a lot sooner. Maybe not week one, I don't know. But I think sooner than week six. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately he's like, all right, guys, we tried it your way. I'm the one out there having to answer questions all the time. We're 1-4, and we have the worst passing offense in the NFL. So if we don't make a change now, when will we make a change? That's what I think.
Yeah, so, and I hear what you're saying. Like, look, we tried it your way. Now I'm going to, you know, exert my input, and I'm going to make the change. To me, I agree with you. I think Mayo wanted Drake May to be out there week one. And so the fact that now there's a change, and Mayo's wanted to make the change, probably never wanted to go with Brissett in the first place, speaks to somebody else being in control of this decision. I would look to ownership. You know, I would look
you
to Robert.
They said enough is enough?
Well, just look at the stadium yesterday.
That's what I thought was a big, could be a factor.
It was empty.
Yeah.
I think the boos would have been louder if there were more people, but they were getting booed right on their first drive yesterday. You know, you hear them go 3-and-out, you hear the boos start up before they get the pick from Gonzalez in the short field and they get in the end zone. You already heard it yesterday.
And also, sometimes no boos or quiet boos
is almost worse.
Yes.
The indifference.
Yes. Classic wrestling, right? Take wrestling. You want them either cheering or booing. You don't want them just to be sitting on their hands or, like, not paying attention or, like, walking out.
You want them to care.
Yes.
You want them to at least
care. Are they
invested? The answer to me would be no.
Yeah, it
doesn't seem
like it.
What is the impetus for the change? I think it's certainly on the field with Jacoby Brissett, but I think there's a business aspect to it as well. I think it's part of the reason they drafted Drake May at 3.
They are home week 6, so he's not going to be starting on the road, right?
Yeah.
He's starting here.
And you can't start – I don't think anyway you can start him in London. Like, that's a chaotic schedule thing.
People might sleep in and miss it.
You know, you didn't – he did play against the Jets before, so I guess you could do the Jets in week 8. But if you're already looking ahead to week 8 and making the switch, make it now. And I think it's part of the reason they drafted Drake May. Business. I think ownership was influential in that draft pick. I think they'd be influential in this decision. And so whose call is it? You guys can jump in on that as well at 617-779-7937. It might take rock bottom. And yesterday, make no mistake, probably was rock bottom for this team. Maybe the worst it's been around here since the early 90s for the New England Patriots. But it sounds like today there is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Ooh.
A bit of a light
a little bit.
At the end of the tunnel. Bit. And we may have a new starting quarterback in New England before the day's out, Keith.
Love it.
It's Patriots Monday. We're at Gillette Stadium. We're going to be joined by a couple of Patriots players here in person. We'll get to what happened, take you around week five of the NFL. That's about an hour from now. We'll do all our normal things as well, misleading. We'll revisit Jerod Mayo today on the Greg Hill Show, leaving the door open for a quarterback change, grab bag, things like that as well, plus all your phone calls. Let's get into the offense, their struggles. Is it about personnel? Is it about coaching? Right after Trending with Billy Lanning. Jerod Mayo this morning on the Greg Hill Show, part of Mayo Monday, each and every week. That was noteworthy.
That really was. That was a nice way of saying no when the question was, does Jacoby Brissett give you the best chance to win every week?
We haven't had our staff meeting yet.
Yeah, I haven't had the staff meeting yet, so he doesn't know whether the answer is yes or no, he knows.
He hadn't had his staff meeting the week before.
Right.
And he was committing at the podium after the game in a horrendous loss against the Niners, committing to Jacoby Brissett without a staff meeting.
Now, we've heard him every single week, and this was different. This was a different one, and I don't know if he just needs to talk to the players first. I don't know if Jacoby or Drake know there's a change coming. Again, nothing officially has been announced, but you hear that this morning. Mike Reese and Adam Schefter both kind of hint towards it. They're not reporting anything, but those guys, like you said, they don't just toss stuff out there randomly.
No.
So that all signs do point to Drake May. I don't know how they're going to make the official announcement. I don't know if they're going to give that to Schefter like they do in the power. He and Rapoport are going to tweet it out the exact same second
probably.
Like they did before.
That's probably exactly what it is.
All right, fine.
Guys, don't announce it until we talk to the team, but it's going to happen. Just they'll hit send it exactly the same time. Yeah.
Better late than never in this scenario. You know, and hopefully this, you know, 10 years we look back on this and be like, "Oh yeah, Drake didn't start the first 5 weeks, right? Like he's a great player now." And like, "When did he start his first week 6?" Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, Billy Lanning.
It's just a blip.
Billy Lanning nailed it.
Billy Lanning crushed
it. That was a Billy Lanning. Everybody was saying Miami. Billy said, "No."
Yeah.
Houston.
Should have been Miami.
Should have been
week
one.
The game. Well, it should have been week one, but after it wasn't week one. Because that's the other thing. You lose to the Jets, although we'll get into the Jets later when we do what happened. Maybe that loss doesn't look so great anymore, the way they've played. But Jets and Niners also lost yesterday, the Niners. So wait a minute. These teams aren't that good.
The Bengals are 1-5. You beat them. Or 1-4, rather.
Yep.
The Niners and Jets both smoked you. Those are 2 and 3 teams.
My head is spinning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But still, those are road games, and those are at least better teams than this Miami team. So you're like, okay, kind of move on. But this one, especially when you have the lead for most of the game, it's a tough one to swallow. That should have been a win yesterday.
Let me give you an update on Schefter. He said, based off of head coach Jerod Mayo, he wrote May, Jerod Mayo's tone. So there's a give right there. That's a bit of a tell.
Wow.
Based off head coach Jerod Mayo's tone and answers at today's press conference, as well as other sources, a quarterback change could be coming soon to New England with rookie first-round pick Drake May potentially starting Sunday against the Texans. So again, not just the press conference, but other sources.
Okay.
Schefter says. So,
I'll take it.
You're hearing it from all different levels, which, great. It should be the time for a change after yesterday, where I think independently you can really put a lot of yesterday on Jacoby Brissett. Can I hear one more answer from Jerod Mayo? This was in his general press conference with the media right after he jumped off WEEI earlier today. He seemed to pile on Brissett for his individual play more than I had heard. I've not heard the clip. I've read the clip. But I feel like this is the case. So let's hear Jerod Mayo this morning.
Jerod, how would you evaluate Jacoby's performance yesterday?
You know, it just wasn't good enough. You know, I thought we played well enough defensively and on special teams to win the football game. And look, as the quarterback, and he understands this, you know, he touches the ball on every single play, and we didn't win the game or score enough points to win the game. And I think he would echo that same sentiment, that it wasn't good enough.
Okay, good enough on defense, good enough on special teams.
There you go.
Good enough on offense.
It
was about him.
And, oh, by the way, the offensive line was better. Not great. Again, we got to grade it on a curve, I guess, but it was better. I don't think it was what did them in yesterday. And it's funny because a lot of times people, and you just see it from like Twitter and like live reaction during the game, is anytime Brissett gets hit, apparently it's the offensive line's fault. Like every single time. Like nobody thinks for a second, maybe you got to get the ball out.
Maybe,
like
maybe even when roll a little quicker.
When Mark Sanchez is saying you can't go 3 steps and then like look around, like you're going to get hit. Like that's what's going to happen. So I don't know what the official breakdown would be, but I wouldn't put every single quarterback hit, even both sacks. I mean, he got sacked twice in the first drive. Didn't get sacked again after that. Did take a bunch of hits, but a lot of times it's him because he's taking his time. He's so afraid to throw an interception that he might not try to fit it into a tight window that he might see immediately, or a knock on him in his career. Maybe he doesn't see it right away, and then ultimately holds on to the ball too long, which leads to just getting smacked around more.
That's an odd question.
It's an odd question. No, but also, like, and going back to this too, like, even if Brissett played the exact same game,
yep.
How do you justify, in a game in which you led for most of it, how do you justify twice as many pass attempts as run?
Oh, no, look, Van Pelt's a big problem too, but Gerard Mayo said earlier today they're not going to make a play call or change in season. That's not on the table right now.
Who do you think it would even be?
Great question. Don't know.
Okay.
Bring back Patricia.
What's McAdoo do?
Bring back Judge.
McAdoo do. Yeah, what is... Yeah, right.
It would be a better offense.
Patricia, Judge,
yeah, no,
McDaniels.
McAdoo would probably be the guy. That would probably be the guy.
Charlie Weiss.
So you guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. We're live at Gillette Stadium. It's Patriots Monday. We'll talk to some players coming up. News of the day. Sounds like a quarterback change is on the table. Whose call do you think it is? Keith thinks it's Gerard Mayo's. I think it goes higher than that, up to ownership. You can weigh in on that. There was a poll question last week on this radio station that was like 50-50.
Crazy.
Can't play Drake May. Hashtag don't break Drake. I know Ken feels strongly about
He's
that.
He's a big don't break Drake guy.
So there's a lot of you out there.
No,
so
there is. You hear it all the time.
A lot of you must hate this decision, right? If they're going to make the switch, close to 50% of you hate the call.
Uh-huh.
So I want to hear from you today. If you hate it, I want to hear from you. 617-779-7937. Let's start it off with Matt in Rhode Island. Hello.
Matt, hey. Hey.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, guys? The smell of hot burning garbage was wafting in the air after the first half of the worst NFL game I've ever seen in my life. But the point of my call is, if you're going to run the ball so effectively in the West Coast offense, I thought it was...
Oh, I did it again.
Did you hang up on him?
I did it again. That
was mid-take.
Matt, you call back.
What the heck?
It's a sensitive keyboard. That's a sensitive keyboard. That is a sensitive. It's a sensitive keyboard.
That was a premature.
That's what that was. It was maybe the worst game I've seen, though. To his point.
No, I get caught up in that sometimes, like recency bias. Well, that's the best. That's the worst. That was the worst. I was trying to think of other ones. That was the worst because both teams were horrible.
Like, Miami tried to give you the game.
Yes.
Miami tried to give you that game, and you couldn't take it. Which speaks to how horrifically bad you are that they wanted to give you the game. They couldn't even snap and get their snap to holder production.
Oh, they got snapped out of field goal range on one play because of the shotgun snap. Both teams are missing kicks.
Yeah.
They're dropping passes. Quarterbacks are airmailing guys. The clock management on both sides is a mess. And then there was a million penalties.
No, it was horrendous. It was horrendously bad. So, Matt in Rhode Island, I think you were about to make a good point. My bad.
Jeez.
It's a sensitive keyboard, I think is what it is. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm wondering if there's a statistic out there, not that you have to find it, but that after 5 weeks, the Scott Van Pelt and the Jacoby Brissett combination might be the worst coach quarterback in the history of the game. Anyway, it's just as bad as it could ever be. It's unbelievable. But you guys are great. Have a good day.
All right,
it's not good.
You.
There's no doubt about that. It's not good.
It's been poor. I don't know if we can get somebody on that, the 5 weeks ever. Points per game, they are still a little bit above Miami. So the two worst offenses.
Yeah, they're like 12.2 or something like that, right? I saw this flip.
Pats are 12.4. The Dolphins are 12 even. The next team up is 15.8. So like over a field goal higher is the next bad team.
Nice.
There are two teams averaging over 30 a game. Just put that in perspective. One of them starts a rookie quarterback. We'll have more on that coming up in a moment. But yeah, the Patriots offense has been a mess. I mean, the amount of punting, and not just punting, it's the three and out punts, which are just staggering. So like the defense did a good job, and then they get to sit for a second. They don't even get to watch any like film or anything, or look at any of the pictures. They're like right back out there all the time.
I thought it was kind of a pathetic excuse, to be honest. But you heard Gerard Mayo talk about fatigue and how fatigue ultimately undid the team. And Mapu had to play every single snap. He hasn't played all year, and so I thought it was kind of a soft, pathetic answer, but. That does go back to the offense. If you can't stay on the field,
defense
is out there for a million plays getting worn down.
That's why I feel like there were times, and I hate going back to Brady because it's an unfair comparison, but just when you have a really good offense, they can also make up for your defense, right? Like Brady's off, like there's so many years where the defense would rank really high, and you're like, really, is that good of a defense? And you're like, well, it's because they could sit, they could play with the lead for one. They could also sit on the bench for 8 minutes as Brady's just marching down the field and scoring a touchdown. This is different. You come up with a great play, maybe even have like the Gonzalez pick, which was great, and then you get to sit down, barely get water, and like, oh, they're punting. Guys, get up here. You need the first defense back up here. So, yeah, it's tough for them. And even still, 15 points, like, They definitely did their job. Like they held up their end of the bargain.
No, they did, and that's a bad offense on the other side. But whatever. They held up their end. Although Miami just ran it down their throats in the second half of that game. So we'll get to your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Again, I think I figured out the system here. I'll do my best not to hang up on you. 3 seconds in to your call. But I do want to hear from the Drake May people who don't want to break them and think it's the wrong call, because it sounds like we're about to get that switch. So 617-779-7937, that's your phone number. You mentioned Christian Gonzalez. His interception yesterday. We're going to talk to Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots on a Patriots Monday next from Gillette Stadium. First date with Drake May, Keith, potentially?
I think so.
This weekend against the Houston Texans?
I think it's possible. How about CJ Stroud, Drake May?
Future AFC championships at stake?
Could be. This could be the beginning of a rivalry, in all seriousness.
It could be. Right. I mean, are we saying it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, maybe?
Well, a little bit.
But there's the potential that you have your franchise quarterback, and, you know, you're right where Houston is now in a year or two. You know, Houston, at the start of last year, no one thought they would be where they were, advancing around in the postseason. And now they're 4-1 and look like one of the true Super Bowl contenders in the NFL. They were aggressive this offseason. And this could be the start of that. It could be. Because, let's face it, these 5 weeks aren't good enough. They're 1-4. And there's a lot of blame to go around. And you can blame ownership all you want. You can blame Elliott Wolf. And you can blame Gerard Mayo if you want to. But a lot of those things aren't going to change. This is one thing you can change. And you can change right now. And it could pay big dividends. And that would be the quarterback switch. So we're waiting on Christian Gonzalez here on a Patriots Monday. Jones and Keith live at Gillette Stadium. Lovely pick. Could have had a second one.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill actually made a great play
to
knock it away from him. But good coverage by Gonzalez, who did a good job all day on Tyreek Hill. Maybe they're having their squad meeting. Maybe they're wrapping up that squad meeting.
A pretty major team decision,
and they're about to get a big announcement. So whenever Gonzo comes up here, we'll check
Gonzo's going to break the news with us here.
I would imagine.
Probably.
Worth a shot.
I think we got a good thing going on with him, so I would imagine that would be the case. In the meantime, I'll do my best not to hang up on you. We'll get to your phone calls here. Justin's in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I don't think Drake should start in his first year, because I'm a believer in the sit for a year, let him get used to the NFL systems, and not have all that pressure day one on you. Now, that's not a one-shoe-fits-all. Some players are going to have the mental makeup to handle it, but I just feel like the longer he sits, the better it is for the future long term, next year, the year after that for us.
Yeah, no, look, I think there's a lot of fans that feel that way. It's safe to say that Keith and myself do not feel that way. I think we're pretty well established on that over the course of, the last few weeks, and really looking ahead to the rest of this season. But there's a large chunk of the fan base that feels that way, that you don't want to get him out there too soon and play him too soon. I would say agree to disagree on that. It's Patriots Monday. We're live at Gillette Stadium. And we're joined right now by Christian Gonzalez of the New England Patriots. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, Perfecting the Art of Fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. We know yesterday, probably a tough one for the team. Individually for you, though, pretty strong performance. How do you feel about your level of play through 5 weeks?
I mean, I feel like it's been all right. I feel like there's plays I've left out there that I want to make. But, I mean, it's more than – it ain't about me. It's about the team. So, I mean, it's tough, but, you know, we're gonna get it fixed.
Made a play yesterday, though. Take us through that. Was that just reading the eyes of the quarterback? You got a good jump on that. Take us through it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they put us in the – we got a good call from the defensive coordinator. That allowed me to be able to jump a route and make a play. So just felt it all going away. And, you know, when you're at a corner, you got to know who's in front of you, what type of routes they run, down the distance, all that plays a factor into it. And like I said, I felt the flow go away. So the flow goes away, usually somebody's coming back. So I was able to make a play.
You've, and we've detailed this before, but you've gone against a lot of top receivers already. In the first 5 weeks of the year, you start with guys like Chase and Metcalf. You get Garrett Wilson. Yesterday, it's Tyreek Hill. Who's the toughest matchup, stylistically? Who's a tougher matchup for you?
I mean, they all bring different things to the table. I mean, everybody I've faced this whole year has been it's been a challenge, and it's been a fun challenge. Tyreek, he changes the game. It's a whole different level of speed out there, so you feel it. They've all been real good, and I've had a lot of fun guarding them.
What was the confidence yesterday? It seemed like you guys were doing a great job stopping the pass, but then Miami kind of flipped it in the second half and started to run the ball a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, they came out with a game plan and executed better than we did. So, I mean, it just goes down to that. So, I mean, we've got to get that fixed.
Talking to Christian Gonzalez, cornerback for the New England Patriots here on Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday at Gillette Stadium. Jerod Mayo highlighted yesterday, defense did its job, special teams did its job. We need more out of the offense. Would you agree with that assessment through 5 weeks?
I mean, I'd leave that up to him. I'm not a head coach. I can't say who needs to do better, who needs to do this. I mean, there was plays that, as a defense, we left out there. So, I mean, that's my take on it.
So last week, Devon Godchow was on with us, and he was saying how guys defensively were playing kind of selfishly. This is going back to the 49er game and maybe even games prior to that. But he wanted it out there. He said he'd talk to the team about it. Do you agree with that assessment, that maybe some guys just defensively were maybe going outside of the scheme a little bit? And if so, do you feel better about it after yesterday's game?
Yeah, I mean, I feel good about it. I feel like it's taken in the wrong term. I mean, when you hear selfish, you think, okay, somebody's playing to make plays. It was more so, sometimes, like, they're not doing their exact job. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was selfish. It was just, that's the way it, like, I don't know how to describe it, but it wasn't, like, selfish in a bad way.
Have you guys had your squad meeting yet?
Nah, we haven't.
No squad meeting yet? When is that? Can we get an idea when that is? Like, well, roughly what time of the day is that going to be?
I think it's like noon, 12.
Right noon now. Or 12. Okay. Well, are you expecting any big announcements today in the squad meeting?
I don't know. I ain't the coach, so we're going to see what happens.
Are you guys wearing the throwback uniforms this Sunday? Are you wearing the reds?
Yeah, we are.
Is that this week?
Yeah,
you like those better? Yeah. You can be honest.
I like them.
They're a lot better,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's a change-up. I like them.
All right, good. I like him. I like him a lot better. Now, Jones mentioned all the receivers you've gone up against. Same thing again. I feel like it's every single week in the NFL. I know Nico Collins got banged up yesterday, but between him and Steph Diggs, Texans, another team that and a great quarterback throwing the ball, so big challenge coming up on Sunday.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's a big challenge. They got an explosive offense, and we're excited. We're always up for the challenge and ready to get to it.
Same draft class as C.J. Stroud. What do you know about C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing competitor, amazing guy. We've talked. He's the ultimate competitor. He goes out there with his team. He's a leader, and he's a great quarterback. He makes great throws, great reads. It'll be fun to go out there and play against him.
You've been keeping up with your Oregon Ducks each week?
Yeah, we got a big one this week.
I was going to say Ohio State this week, right?
Monster.
Yeah, we got a big one. So hopefully they can pull it off.
I mean, the Big Ten is certainly an interesting animal that we'll see this year. Okay, you guys are 1-4. You got a big game this weekend. Maybe, perhaps, some changes coming for the organization. Best of luck this weekend. Best of luck for the rest of the season. And thanks for stopping by, Christian Gonzalez.
Yes, appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, Christian Gonzalez joining us here on Jones and Keefe as all our guests. They are brought to you by Verizon. Brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. So no squad meeting. We're thinking maybe shortly after noonish is when we'll get that here. We'll get you more updates with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We can get back to the Patriots through a 1-4 start. Where do we lay some blame? How can we fix things? We'll get to that next live from Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday.